السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Dear brothers, respected elders, honorable ulama, I begin in the name of Allah, thank Him, praise Him, glorify Him, seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to forgive our sins, to enlighten our hearts with His love, love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for those who love Allah and love for those who are loved by Allah. And we ask Allah to guide us to the right path and to keep us on the right path as long as we live, so that we live like Muslims, die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. I am also very humbled to be speaking in the presence of very learned and senior ulama, and I'm grateful to them for giving me this opportunity to say a few words in their presence. And I pray to Allah, may Allah bless them all. May Allah lengthen their shadows upon us for long. And may Allah accept them and bless them and elevate their status. And may Allah bless all aspects of their lives. My dear brothers and respected elders, we as Muslims, we believe in Allah, we pray, we fast in the month of Ramadan. Many people in their millions travel to Mecca for the performance of Hajj. Many people give a lot of charity, look for opportunities to do all good. But why? What's the end goal? Or are people just running around like headless chickens? What's the end goal? Us praying, fasting, giving charity, doing good. Many brothers, mashallah, sacrifice, leave their families, businesses, go in the path of Allah 40 days, 4 months, for some long, for some less. Why? What is the ultimate purpose? To please Allah. And what will Allah do if Allah becomes happy? Allah will give us Jannah. Agree or disagree? If someone was to fast every day of his life, except the days that we shouldn't fast, spend every night in ibadat of Allah, spend every penny he earns in the path of Allah, can he still put his hand on his heart and say, I am definitely going to Jannah?
No.
We can do whatever we are hopeful. Allah forgive our sins. And Allah accept our deeds. Allah forgive our sins and Allah enter us into paradise. But there isn't a single soul in the world now who can say, I am definitely going to Jannah. But there were those blessed souls about whom As-Sadiqul Amin, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, the beloved Prophet of Allah, from whose noble tongue nothing but the truth came. He said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Abdurrahman ibn Awf fil Jannah, Saad fil Jannah, Saeed fil Jannah, Abu Ubaidah fil Jannah. They are guaranteed. Others as well, whoever lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. They are all promised goodness. And whosoever has been promised goodness by Allah, there are only two places in the life hereafter, Jannat and Jahannam. There is a third place. Somebody said a bit like Kashmir, neither here nor there, Araf. But that is only temporary. Two real places, Jannat and Jahannam. But those who've been promised goodness, and every one of those who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they've all been promised goodness by Allah. Kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. La yastawi minkum man anfaqa min qabli al-fathi wa qatal. Ulaika azamu darajatan min alladhina anfaqu min ba'du wa qatalu. Indeed, those who embraced Islam, spent in the path of Allah, went in the path of Allah, did what they could, fought, struggled, they command a higher status. But even those who came afterwards, kullu wa'adallahu al-husna. Allah has promised them all forgive, all goodness. And whosoever has been promised goodness by Allah, Allah will keep them far away from Jahannam. Inna alladhina sabaqat lahum minna al-husna ulaika anha mubaadun la yasma'una hasisaha wa hum fi mashtahat anfusuhum khalidun la yahzunuhum al-faza' al-akbar wa tatalaqqahum al-mala'ika hadha yawmukum alladhi kuntum tu'adun. They have been promised goodness. They will get whatever they please. They won't have to suffer. They will not be subjected to any problems, hardship and suffering. They've all been promised goodness. But number one, after all the prophets, is Abu Bakr. Then Umar, then Usman, then Ali. This is an exclusive group of four people. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is among in that list. And to be number four in that list is no shame. That is such an exclusive group. Nobody had the honor of being anywhere near that group. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is among those very special personalities about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. He loves Allah and His Rasul. وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He loves Allah and His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul love him. Ali radiallahu anhu has stated in a hadith reported in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, أَنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّنِي إِلَّا مُؤْمِنْ وَلَا يُبْغِذُنِي إِلَّا مُنَافِقٍ. That no one will love him except a true believer, and no one will hate him except a munafiq. Love for Hazrat Ali is a sign of iman. Hatred for Hazrat Ali is a sure sign of nifaq. But love for Hazrat Ali does not mean hatred for Abu Bakr or Umar. Love for Hazrat Ali does not mean hatred for Usman or Aisha or Hafsa or Amir Muawiyah. Love for Hazrat Ali is because يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He loves Allah and His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul love him. And just as Ali, yes, to a special level, but everyone who was around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they all loved Allah. They all loved Allah. They all loved His Rasul. Allah and His Rasul loved them as well. And when he came to Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, then Allah made it clear. There is other verses in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. That is hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahih hadith, but this is Quran. And when the people became murtad, Allah had prophesied, foretold, there will come a time when people will leave deen, and when people will leave deen, Allah will bring forth a nation. They will be such. Allah will love them and they will love Allah. And that is when Rasulullah passed away, left this world. People like Musaylimah Kazzab and others, they left deen. Then Allah made Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stand firm against these people. And أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Against the advice, against all other odds, Abu Bakr took them all on, pushed the Sahaba, made them fight such people. And ulaika hizbullah,
And they were the army of Allah. And they were ghalib. So the Quran speaks volumes of the personality of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu especially. But Ali radiallahu anhu is also special. We Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We follow, we love everybody. You ask anybody nowadays, most people, their main concern, ask anybody. They will say, times are bad, Muslims are disunited. If only we could be united. Everybody wants unity, nobody wants disunity, nobody prays for disunity. But the sad reality is, people are disunited. We didn't create disunity. We don't pray for disunity. We all want unity. But the beloved Prophet of Allah foretold, there will come a time, مَنْ يَعْشِ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. People who live after me will witness great divisions, disputes, controversies. There will be divisions, there will be problems. We want unity, but unity has to be on some basis. You can't have people cursing, looking down, making takfir, cursing, swearing at people who we hold in utmost high esteem, and then expect you to be united with them. People about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ. When you see people cursing my companions, then many people say, oh, may Allah guide them. Well, that's not what Rasulullah said. And Rasulullah is rahmatul lil alameen. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, when you see people swearing at my companions, then say, don't say, the Prophet didn't say, Ya Allah, guide them, have mercy upon them, open their hearts for their love. No, because such hearts who curse the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their hearts are so dark, they are infested with so much evil, there is no hope in the world for their hidayat. Except if Allah with His infinite mercy decides otherwise. Otherwise, Rasulullah rahmatul lil alameen said, Qulu, say, Lanatullahi ala sharrikum, curse of Allah be upon your evil. When it comes to Sahaba, this is such an emotional issue. This is such an important issue. Such a fundamental issue. Even Allah is very sensitive. When people said, سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. Shall we believe like these fools? Allah said, how dare you call them fools? You are the ones who are fools. It's you who are fools. Allahu Akbar. In the previous scriptures, there were certain things Allah mentioned. Torah and Injil. Tawheed we can assume was automatically mentioned in there. But along with Tawheed, Nubuwwat and Risalat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned. This is why Allah says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Why? Why did the Jews and the Christians used to recognize Rasulullah like their own children? Not when Rasulullah became 40 years old and Jibreel started coming to Rasulullah. Even when he was a child, when he went to Sham, Buhaira Rahib, Nastura Rahib. This is long before Jibreel started descending upon Rasulullah. When he was only 12 years old and he went to Sham, Buhaira Rahib said, who is this child with? They said, Abu Talib, what's wrong? Do you not see when he walks the trees, they sway to greet him and welcome him? Do you not see when he is walking the clouds are casting shade over him? He is to be the prophet we are waiting for. When he was 12 years old merely, just as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned in the previous scriptures, ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. So was Abu Bakr and Umar mentioned in previous scriptures. Companions of Rasulullah were mentioned in previous scriptures. When some big sheikh comes, people, mashallah, flock from all around to come and see him and visit him, to listen to him, to sit in his company. There is no greater man to walk the surface of this earth. Sun hasn't shone upon, and the world hasn't seen a better man than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what does Allah say to his beloved Prophet? Oh my beloved Prophet, wasbir, wasbir nafsak. مَعَلَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. You sit with the people who remember me in the morning and evening. Your companions, sit with them. And when you sitting with them, لَا تَعْدُوَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Don't look away from them. Look at them. Look at them. Appreciate them. When you and I, when we do something wrong, you walking down the street, nowadays, mashallah, everybody carries a smartphone. Phones have become smarter. If only people were half as smart as some of these phones, we wouldn't have half the problems. Everywhere, in the masjid, everywhere. Many times, many brothers go in Jamaat. Please don't think I'm criticizing Jamaat. Alhamdulillah, I go in Jamaat myself as well. Even when they go in Jamaat, they've left families and home. Many years ago, we were in Nizamuddin. Maulana Suleiman Janji, many of you probably remember him and know him. Every day he would say after Isha Salat, brothers, you've left everything behind. You've only brought your bistra here. But the bistra, your bed, doesn't leave you. Any 5 minutes, pair straight to the bed. Nowadays, mobile phones have become such fitna. Any minute, mashallah, before salat, after salat, straight away on the phone. Many times people, nowadays people say, we don't benefit as much when we go in Jamaat. Back in the days, you spent 3 days and it used to be so wonderful. Back in the days, there were no mobile phones. Now people sitting in Talim beyond playing with their phones. So what benefit do you expect to derive? Allahu Akbar. وَلَا تَعْدُوَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. When they are sitting with you, and then don't look away, look at them. When you and I walking down the street, somebody playing with his phone, he bumps into another guy. What is he expected to say? Huh? What do you say in South Africa? Sorry. You say sorry? Who says sorry? The one who was being negligent. In Pakistan is a bit different. Over there, if somebody bumps into someone, they say, you say sorry to me. But normally, people say, if you bump into someone, then you say sorry. But Sahaba are such. Sometimes things went wrong. Allah doesn't say, you make tawbah to me. Allah said to his beloved Prophet, fa'fu anhum, you forgive them. Fa'fu anhum, you say sorry to me on their behalf. Allahu Akbar. Fa'fu anhum, wastaghfir lahum. What does that mean? They've done wrong. Rasulullah didn't do wrong. Rasulullah is the Rasulullah. But Allah says, they've done wrong. Fa'fu anhum. Allah doesn't say, you come and say sorry to Rasulullah. Allah says, without even them saying sorry, you forgive them. And they've done wrong, whatever they did, you see, say sorry on their behalf to me. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Don't turn them away. Keep them with you. Ask them. Take mashura from them. They are companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr number one, then Umar number two, Usman number three, Ali radiallahu anhu number four, radiallahu anhum. We accept everybody. We are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our hearts are open for everybody. We believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe Imam Bukhari rahmahullah in his Sahih has dedicated a chapter. Bab naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. A whole chapter. Meaning, deen is coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way down. We are 1400 years down the line. So what do? We get in the queue. We follow the people before us. If you get in the queue, the people to come after you will get in the queue behind you. You ever go into pick and pay? If there's a line, what do you do? Jump to the front or get to the back? If you try jumping the queue, then
They said, get to the back. No one ever teach you any manners? We are all here. So Imam Bukhari says the same. Bab naqtadi biman qablana wa yaqtadi bina man ba'dana. We get in the queue in behind those who are in front. The ones who will come after us will get in the queue. If we want to jump the queue, do you think the people behind us will not jump the queue? The queue is coming. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the front. Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, radiallahu anhu. Then tabi'in, taba tabi'in, aimman, mujtahideen, salaf salihin, mufassireen, muhaddiseen. And then we are all the way back. Some like jumping in front. Even in front of Abu Bakr and Umar. You think Allah will stand for that? And we accept everybody. Our hearts are open for everybody. We accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We accept Khilafat. We accept Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, radiallahu anhum. And then everybody, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah, Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi. Some people are jumping in front, just behind Imam Bukhari, and then in front of Hazrat Umar as well. Allah doesn't tolerate any nonsense when he comes to Hazrat Umar either. Special. Wallahu ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbi. We accept everybody. We don't cause the differences. Differences have been caused. So we are saying, we want unity. Let's take the whole package. Some people only want to take the Bukhari package. Some people only want to take the Hazrat Ali package. We say, no, we take everybody. Who can have a wider heart and open his arms wider than that? Their arms are open, so only Bukhari Muslim. Only Hazrat Ali. Everybody else is wrong. No, we accept everybody. We are Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, Inna fika mathalun min Isa. Ali, you have a similarity with Isa alayhi salam. أَبْغَضَتُ الْيَهُودِ حَتَّى بَهْتَوْ أُمَّهُ. The Jews hated him so much that they slandered his mother. وَأَحَبَّتْهُ النَّسَارَى حَتَّى أَنْزَلُوهُ بِالْمَنْزِلَةِ الَّتِي لَيْسَ بِهِ. The Christians loved him so much, they elevated him to a status he wasn't fitting upon, which wasn't fitting for him. Just as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will summon him on the day of Qiyamah and say, قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا إِسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you ever tell your people to make you and your mother as gods? And Isa alayhi salam will say, سُبْحَانَكْ مَا يَكُونُ لِيَ نَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ. How dare I say something to which I had no right? People elevate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about Hazrat Ali, there will be a group of people, they will hate you so much, like the Jews hated Isa alayhi salam so much, they slandered his mother. The next bit isn't in hadith, it's in the Quran. They even tried to kill Isa alayhi salam. But Isa alayhi salam was one of the mighty messengers of Allah. And Allah has ordained, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. That Allah will always remain dominant and so will His messengers. They couldn't have His way. They couldn't have their way. But Ali radiallahu anhu wasn't a messenger of Allah. يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Many prophets were killed but no Rasul was ever killed. Because Allah has ordained, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. That I will remain dominant and so will my messengers. The Jews tried to kill him, Allah elevated him, raised him. وَأَحَبَّتُ النَّسَارَ حَتَّى أَنْزَلُوهُ بِالْمَنْزِلَةِ الَّتِي لَيْسَ بِهِ. The Christians loved him, and in love for Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, they made him son of Allah. Ali radiallahu anhu said, وَسَيَهْلِكُ فِيَّ سِنْفَانِ. Two groups of people. This is Nahjul Balagha. Nahjul Balagha is a book which the Shias accept as the sayings and sermons of Hazrat Ali. It's in the top of the list of their books as well, among the top books. And in there are sermons of Hazrat Ali, radiallahu anhu. And this is one of his sermons. وَسَيَهْلِكُ فِيَّ سِنْفَانِ. Two groups will be ruined with regards to me. مُحِبٌّ مُفْرِتٌ يَذْهَبُ بِهِ الْحُبُّ إِلَى غَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. One is a group who loves me, and in love for me goes overboard.
محب مفرط يذهب به الحب إلى غير الحق. And in my love, he will jump all borders of truth. Then مبغض مفرط يذهب به البغض إلى غير الحق. Another group will be the one who will hate me, and in my hatred will go overboard, and as a result will be ruined. وخير الناس في حالا النمة الأوسط. The best person with regards to me is a moderate man who doesn't hate me and who doesn't love me more than I deserve to be loved. There is absolutely no reason, justification whatsoever for any Muslim to hate Hazrat Ali. Why should a Muslim hate Hazrat Ali? When Rasulullah has stated, يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He loves Allah and His Messenger. Allah and His Messenger love Him. So why should a Muslim hate Him? People did. They even tried to kill Him. And they did kill Him. Unjustly, wrongly, no reason. But other group, just with regards to Isa alayhi salam, the group which hated Him, Jews, are small in number. But the ones who love Him and in love for Him have elevated Him, made Him Son of God, they are far more. They far exceed and a greater number compared to those who hate Him. Christians are much more in number than the Jews. Christians elevated Isa alayhi salam and made Him Son of God. Similarly, those who love Hazrat Ali will far exceed and in love for Hazrat Ali go overboard to such an extent they abandon the truth. They will far exceed those who hate Hazrat Ali. And those who love Hazrat Ali and have elevated Him to a status Hazrat Ali never ever claimed and doesn't deserve, and have made Him literally God. Every rakat of every salat you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And then you say, Maliki, Maliki Yawmiddin. What does Maliki Yawmiddin mean? Master of the Day of Judgment. Many of you carry smartphones, mashallah, and if you want, you can type in Mullah Bakir Majlisi. Khomeini has written in his book entitled Hukumat al-Islamiyya that Shiaism is as Mullah Bakir Majlisi has written in his books. Many people regard him as the hero, Imam Khomeini. I say Shaitan Khomeini. Biggest shaitan in recent times. And he's written, then, oh, Khomeini. Shaitan Khomeini. He's written, Shiaism is as Bakir Majlisi has written in his books. And you ask Sheikh Google, who was Bakir Majlisi? Sheikh Google will tell you, the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. Probably the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. And he's written many books. 110 volumes, Biharul Anwar, Jilaul Uyun, Hayatul Qulub. This is one of his most famous works, Jilaul Uyun. Originally in Persian, but this is the Urdu translation. Published in Lucknow, not in Raivind. In Lucknow, Jilaul Uyun, volume 2, page 60. جناب علی علیہ السلام نے اپنے بعض خطبات میں ارشاد فرمایا ہے. How many of you understand Urdu? MashaAllah. Okay. Fair number, but I'll translate it for the purpose of those. I'm sure everybody doesn't understand Urdu. جناب علی علیہ السلام نے اپنے بعض خطبات میں ارشاد فرمایا ہے. He says, علی رضی اللہ عنہ, علی علیہ السلام. We are sunnah wal jama'ah, don't use the word علیہ السلام for anyone but prophets. Although linguistically there's nothing wrong with it. When we say to the living as well, Assalamu alaikum, kya dete hai na? We say to Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be upon you. Alayhi salam means peace be upon him. But because this term has become the sha'ir, a symbol of the Shias, so hence we don't resemble them. We say when it comes to Sahaba, we say radiyallahu anhu. We use the term alayhi salam for who? For prophets. But the Shias, because they regard imams, Hazrat Ali especially, to be more noble than even all prophets. Hence they use the word at the term alayhi salam for them. And not just for Hazrat Ali, but all 12 Imams afterwards who they believe were infallible. And Khomeini has written in his book as well that the Imams commanded a status which no prophet or even an angel commands. And he's written not just the fact that all prophets, in fact, he stated, Mullah Bakir Majlisi, I'll go into the other bit first, but this is page 20, and he says that Imams are such, that especially Hazrat Ali, that when even Khatamun Nabiyyin Arshad Furmaya, he says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Rasulullah never said this, but he lies upon Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man kathiba alayya mutaammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu minan nar. Whosoever lies upon me deliberately has secured a reservation in Jahannam. So he is saying wrongly, lying upon Rasulullah, that the Prophet said, Khatimun Nabiyyin ne arshad farmaya ke saqiya kausar Maula Ali alayhi salam hai, yani Quran ne jisko Rab kaha wo saqiya kausar Ali hai. He says, the person Allah has termed and called Rabb is Hazrat Ali. Anbiya ne tabligh farmayi tawheed ki, maabood ki, aur Allah ki jab afaat aayin to pukara hai Rabb Ali ko. Ab bhi masaib mein pukarna apne apne halat ke tahat Ali ko sunnat-e-anbiya aur Quran-e-paak hai. Because even the Prophet used to call to Hazrat Ali when they were in problems. And it is sunnah of the prophets and the teachings of Quran, when you're in trouble, then you should call to Hazrat Ali. Na'uzu billah min zalik. Is that not elevating Hazrat Ali to a status he never claimed for himself? And then they say, like you say, Iyaka malik yawmiddin, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, in every rakat of every salat. Then he says, Janab Ali alayhi salam ne apne baaz khutbat mein irshad farmaya, main wo hoon jiske paas ghaib ki kunjiyan hain. I am the one who has the keys to the secrets of the unseen. Jine baad rasool mere baad koi nahi janta. Nobody knows them apart from me. Main wo Zulqarnain hoon jiska zikr Musaf-e-Ula mein hai. Main Khatim-e-Suleiman ka malik hoon. Main Yawm-e-Hisab ka malik hoon. Quran says, and you say, and every Muslim says, Malik Yawm-e-Din is who? Allah. Mullah Bakir Majlisi, Khomeini says he is right. Mullah Bakir Majlisi says, Na'uz Billah, Ali radiallahu anhu said, I am the owner of the day of judgment. Main Sirat aur Madane Hashar ka malik hu. Main Qasim Jannat wa Nar hu. On the day of Qiyamat, who will decide whether you go to Jannat or Jahannam? Who will decide? Even the prophets, Allah has stated in the Quran, Allah will summon them. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ قَالُوا لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Ya Allah, have mercy. You are the knower of the secrets. Allah will question them, what happened? They say, Allah, we don't know what happened. Out of fear of Allah, His awe. But Mullah Bakir Majlisi says, Hazrat Ali says, I will decide who goes to Jannat and Jahannam. And if you type on your smartphones, Yaqub, Muhammad bin Yaqub Kulaini, Sheikh Google will tell you he is the only Shia scholar in the entire history to have been given the title Thiqqatul Islam. Proper, solid. He's written Usul-e-Kafi. In here there's a narration. Again, a lie assigned to Hazrat Ali, that he said, Ana qasimullahi bayn al-jannati wal-nar. This is a unanimously accepted issue among Shias. They believe on the day of Qiyamah, Hazrat Ali will decide who goes to Jannat and Jahannam. Isn't that what Rasulullah said? Ahabbatul nasara hatta anzaluhu bil manzilati allati laysa bihi. And Hazrat Ali saying, Muhibbu mufritun yadhabu bihil hubbu ila ghayri al-haq. Someone who loves me and in love for me goes overboard, leaves the truth and elevates me to some status I don't deserve. And then he goes on to say so much. Main wo noor hoon jisse Musa ne hidayat ka iktibas kiya. I am the light that Musa gained his hidayat from. میں سور کا مالک ہوں, میں قبروں سے مردوں کو نکالنے زندہ کرنے والا ہوں. I am the one who raises people. Everything has been a مخلوق کا حساب میری طرف سے ہے, میں وہ ہوں جسے امر مخلوق تفویض کیا گیا ہے. I am the one. Allah has given me the responsibility to question everybody. I will take hisab from people. So Hazrat Ali رضی اللہ تعالی, so when people talk about unity, is that a Islam that you believe in? Can you accept that Islam? Can you be united with such an Islam? We want to be united, but united on the Islam that Rasulullah presented. The fundamental issue when it comes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu initially started with the issue of khilafat. Spark. Most fires start with a spark. Spark is only a small thing. But if not contained and controlled, and if it goes out of control, untold damage, unlimited damage. Initially started with the slogan, Usman doesn't deserve to be Khalifa, he should step down. Then Ali should be Khalifa. And then Abu Bakr, Umar, then Usman oppressed Ali. It was his right. How comes his right? Rasulullah appointed him. Where? Ghadir-e Khum, small pond. How come nobody knew? How come Hazrat Ali didn't claim to? In Shia tafsirs, it's written, one of the earliest Shia tafsirs is a tafsir by the name of Furat. You can download it on the internet. Many of you carry smartphones. Those who know Arabic, ulama, they can download it. It's free. You don't even have to pay anything. If you want these books nowadays, it's almost impossible to get these books because Shia don't give it to Muslims. But you can download it free. Tafsir-e Furat. Under the tafsir of the ayat of Surat Ali Imran, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ, which means you have no authority to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, according to Tafsir-e Furat, Imam Jafir Sadiq, they say, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, I want after me Ali should be Khalifa. And Tafsir-e Furat, earliest Shia tafsir, says, Fa'aballah. Allah said, no, Ali can't be Khalifa after you. There is another verse in the Quran, Surah Tahrim. There was an incident, the honey incident. Hazrat Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anha, they had love for Rasulullah. All the wives of Rasulullah, they were special, very special. So special, there is no other woman in the world like them. The Quran says, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithina wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat wal-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibina wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. You know what Khabith means? Filthy. Filthy women for filthy men for filthy women. Khabith. Good women for good men. Good men for good women. There is no better man in the history of humanity better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah is the best man ever, then there is no better woman than the women Allah gave Rasulullah. Allah declared that in the Quran, Ya Nisa Nabiye, Lastunnaka Ahadim Minan Nisa. O you women of the Prophet, there is no other woman in the world. You are not like any other woman in the world. Allah chose them specially to be companions of Rasulullah's personal life. Hazrat Aisha and Hafsa loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but so happens in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no Coca-Cola. Had there been, the story might have been a bit different. In the time of Rasulullah, his favorite drink. What other drink is most famous in South Africa? Coke is famous everywhere. International drink. Rasulullah's favorite drink, honey dissolved in water. So happens, Rasulullah's wives had two camps. Hazrat Aisha, Hafsa, Umme Salma and Zainab on the other camp. Hazrat Zainab was also the Prophet's cousin. And Allah had performed her nikah with Rasulullah in the heavens. And she used to boast rightly, when they had an argument, sit down. Your parents give you away.
to Prophet Sallallahu, Allah gave me a way to Rasulullah. So just sit down, relax, take it easy. Once somebody sent some honey to her, and she knew Rasulullah likes honey. So she kept it for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah would spend one night with each of his noble wives, our mothers. They deserve our love and respect. All of them. And she kept it for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah would spend one night with each of his wives, but visit them all on daily basis if there's anything. If he visited them after a week or so, anything could be happening, could be worried. So he would visit them, spend a few minutes in every house, ask if everything is okay. And when he would come to Zainab, she would entertain the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take her time, and to spend as much time as possible with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet would wait, take his time for drink, perhaps sometime ask for seconds as well. That was his favorite drink. But Hazrat Aisha and Hafsa felt that Rasulullah is coming later than usual. They realized that they discovered Rasulullah spending more time in the house of Hazrat Zainab because having the drink, which he loves. So they made a plan. And the plan was, when Rasulullah comes to you, then say, because Rasulullah hated smell. He loved fragrance. There are certain things Rasulullah said as sunnah of all the prophets. At-ta'attaru was-sawaki min sunan al-anbiya. Ithar, miswak. There's something else as well. MashaAllah. Sunnah of all the prophets. Alhamdulillah. And so he started taking his time. So they made a plan. When Rasulullah comes to you, just ask Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, there's a bit of an unpleasant odor. So Rasulullah came to Hazrat Aisha, Ya Rasulullah, there's some unpleasant odor today. I don't know. Perhaps something you've eaten or drunk. I don't know. The only drink I've had is the honey drink. That's it, Ya Rasulullah. You know, those honey bees, they sit on maghafir. You know, each honey has its own odor based on the plant that people take it from. Nowadays, everything is just battery operated, so all the honeys taste primarily the same. But those who've seen real natural honeys, that's exquisite and it has its own odor depending on the plant. Ya Rasulullah, that's it. Those honeybees, they sit on the maghafir branches, and that's the maghafir odor. If you say so. The Prophet went to Hazrat Hafsa, Ya Rasulullah, today is an unpleasant odor. I don't know. Perhaps you've eaten something, Ya Rasulullah. Well, the only drink I've had is the honey drink. That's it, Ya Rasulullah. Those honeybees, they sit on maghafir. That's the honey. That's the odor of the maghafir. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, alright, don't worry, I won't have it anymore, but don't tell anyone. If you want a secret to be all over the town before the morning, just tell any woman, I'll tell you a secret, but don't tell anyone. So she'll say, I'll tell you a secret, but don't tell anyone. And before you know, the secret is talk of the town. And so Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha, she couldn't hold it back, and she mentioned the incident. And Rasulullah told him that this is what's happened. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam confronted her, she said, who told you? My Allah told me. And there was another incident as well. In the meantime, she has written in the books. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Hafsa, oh Hafsa, don't worry. When I die, after me, Abu Bakr is going to be Khalifa. And after Abu Bakr, it will be your father who will be Khalifa. This is written in Majma'ul Bayan. I don't have Majma'ul Bayan, but I have it in here. If anybody wants to see it, Volume 10, under the tafsir of Surah Tahrim, Majma'ul Bayan, Tibyan, Tafsir Qummi, they've all got it there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Hafsa, oh Hafsa, after me, when I die, Abu Bakr will be Khalifa, and after Abu Bakr, Umar will be Khalifa, your father. So when Rasulullah prayed, Ya Allah, let Ali be Khalifa, Allah said no. And then Rasulullah told Hazrat Hafsa that after me, Abu Bakr will be Khalifa, and then your father. When Rasulullah wanted Hazrat Ali to be Khalifa, Allah said no. And then he's already told Hazrat Hafsa
that first Abu Bakr will be Khalifa and then your father will be Khalifa, and this is not in Sunni but Shia books, then how can Rasulullah against all this appoint as Ali as his successor on the pond?
You understand or no? They say when Rasulullah was coming back, when Rasulullah was coming back from Hajj, before Rasulullah had gone to Hajj, he had sent Hazrat Ali to Yemen as a teacher. There were a number of other Sahaba with him. When they were traveling, they had some differences and arguments. Things got out of hand. In the meantime, because Medina is in the north, Makkah is in the south, Yemen is further down. Rasulullah, Allah ordered him to come to Hajj. He came to Hajj. Hazrat Ali was in Yemen. He heard Rasulullah is coming to Hajj. He left everything, took the Sahaba who would come with him, went to Hajj. But they already had had some differences. When they got to Hajj, Rasulullah was busy. Those who've been there know it's very hectic, in spite of mashallah now Zamzam Towers and others and Meridian and Hilton and others. Still very hectic. In those days there was nothing like that. Many people had come to Hajj who were seeing Rasulullah for the first time and the last time, and would never see Rasulullah again because he had said, perhaps next year you won't find me here. So these people were close to Rasulullah anyway. They'd come from Medina, would be going back to Medina. So they waited for the right opportunity. After the completion of Hajj, everybody went home their separate ways. Those who would come with Rasulullah from Medina were returning en route. There were no service stations back in the days. There was a small pond known as Ghadir-e-Khum. Ghadir is a pond, Khum was the place. So Ghadir-e-Khum, the pond of Khum. There were some trees. Rasulullah sat down under them to rest and fell asleep. In the meantime, those Sahaba who'd gone with Hazrat Ali to Yemen, they saw Rasulullah now is alone. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain about Hazrat Ali. Ya Rasulullah Ali, he wasn't right and fair with us. Rasulullah heard their complaints and realized they were pushing their luck. Hazrat Ali was in the right. And he said, Ali deserved more than what you think about him. And then Rasulullah said to them, Alastu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim? Am I not supposed to be more dear to you than even yourselves? They said, indeed. And then the Prophet said, Man kuntu mawlahu fahadha aliyun mawlahu. If I am your mawla, Ali is also your mawla. And then he said, Allahumma waliman walahu wa adiman adahu. Ya Allah, whosoever loves him, loves Ali, love him. Whosoever hates him, hate him. So they say, Shias, they say, look here, Rasulullah is saying, if I am your Mawla, Ali is your Mawla. Many people are allergic to the word Mawla as well. They say Mawla is only for Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. That Allah is the Mawla of the believers, kafirs have no Mawla. أَنْتَ بَعْفُوَنَّا وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا. You are our Mawla, Ya Allah. So they say you shouldn't refer to anybody else's Mawla. But Mawla is a sifat of Allah, which is also applicable to others. There are many names of Allah which are specific to Allah, and others which can be used for others as well. Allah is Allah. Ar-Rahman is only for Allah. But Rahim is also used in the Quran for Rasulullah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Ra'uf is Allah, but also Rasulullah. Ra'uf means kind. Rahim means merciful. When it's used for Allah, means in the absolute sense. When it's used for Rasulullah and others, it means in a lesser extent. So Mawla, when refers to Allah, means our Lord, our Master, our Creator. When used for Rasulullah, means our beloved, our leader, our Prophet. Sometimes people also use the word Mawlana to describe Imam Sahab, Alim Sahab. Don't call him Mawla. Mawlana, Mawlana means our Mawla. So don't call him Mawla, Allah is Mawla. Allah is absolute Mawla, but he is a leader as well. In Bukhari Sharif there is a narration, Rasulullah referred to as Zaid. Anta akhuna wa Mawlana. You are our brother and our Mawla, meaning our beloved. Who is superior, Hazrat Zaid or Rasulullah? Rasulullah, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to Hazrat Zaid as akhuna wa Mawlana, our brother, our Mawla, meaning our beloved. So here when Rasulullah said to Hazrat Ali, Anta man kuntu mawlahu, people have complained. Rasulullah didn't want them to complain about Hazrat Ali. He said, if you love me, when you love someone, then you overlook these petty issues.
So if you love me, man kuntu mawlahu, if you love me, then love Ali as well. And then the other dua of Rasulullah complete puts the cherry on the cake. Allahumma wali man walahu. Ya Allah, love the one who loves him and hate the one who hates him. So this tells us that the word mawla in here is not in the context of master but beloved. So, but if Rasulullah was master and Ali is master, that will put Hazrat Ali on the same level as Rasulullah. Was he on the same level as Rasulullah? Which he wasn't. So it cannot be leader. If Rasulullah is the leader and Ali is the leader, how many leaders that does that make simultaneously? Two. And in no nation you have similar two leaders simultaneously. So this hadith got nothing to do with succession. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ever appointed Hazrat Ali as his successor, then when Rasulullah passed away, 3 months later, that Monday morning, Thursday evening, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, Maghrib was the last salah, second Thursday, last salat Rasulullah led himself. For Isha salat, he couldn't come. And he said to the people, oh people, muru Abu Bakr and yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead you in salah. Thursday Isha, all the prayers Friday, including Jummah, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, after Fajr, mid-morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tasted of death. Left this world. All the Sahaba, without exception, weeping, crying, saddened. There was nothing, no moment greater in terms of sadness and sorrow in their lives than the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ever appointed Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, then at that moment, whose responsibility was it then to step forward and rise to the occasion and comfort and assure the ummah of Rasulullah? Did he do that? Who did? Did anyone tell him? Hazrat Abu Bakr had gone to visit his wife, other second wife, on the outskirts of Medina. When he heard Rasulullah has passed away, he came back. The family of Rasulullah had covered his noble body with a sheet. Hazrat Abu Bakr removed the cloth, kissed the Prophet's forehead. Tibta hayyan wa mayyita. Beloved Prophet of Allah, you are noble when you were living, and having tasted of death, you are just as noble. Went to the minbar. Everybody's weeping, crying. He gave his historical sermon, from which every word deserves to be written in gold. And he said, oh people, man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat. Those used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then let them know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has tasted of death. Waman kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun qayyum. Whosoever used to worship Allah, then they can assure themselves Allah is ever living and will never die. No one told Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr knew it himself. Rasulullah had put them. We Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe Rasulullah did not appoint his successor in plain clear terms. Shias believe Rasulullah did. And because they believe Rasulullah did appoint a successor in clear terms, so if Rasulullah had appointed a successor in plain clear terms, would Rasulullah have appointed him at his own accord or through the will of Allah? And then to reject a person Allah has appointed is nothing but kufr. We believe Rasulullah did not appoint a successor in plain clear terms. Reasons why being, had Rasulullah appointed a successor in plain clear terms, it would have set the precedent for every ruler then to appoint his successor. He would have appointed his. Nobody would have then ever been able to choose a ruler for themselves. Had Rasulullah appointed a successor, then it would have given him free license to do whatever he wanted. Rasulullah wanted the ruler, successor, Khalifa,
to be accountable to the people. If he did something out of place, he could have said, not that he was going to, but he could, who are you to tell me? Rasulullah has appointed me. Don't people say that? When something goes, why are you telling me? You didn't make me. Someone special, superior has made me. So just sit down, keep your place. He could have said that, but Rasulullah and Allah didn't want that. Rasulullah wanted the successor and the Khalifa to be accountable to the people. Hazrat Umar is giving khutbah. Started khutbah. One man got up. Amirul Mu'mineen, all well and good, please. But first answer one question. Some cloth had come to Medina. Hazrat Umar had distributed. And there was just enough cloth for everybody to make half a shirt. Not enough for everybody to make a full shirt. But Hazrat Umar on the occasion was wearing a new shirt. An ordinary man got, Amirul Mu'mineen, please. Can you please answer the question first? Then do your khutbah. How comes we can't make a shirt and you made a new shirt? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, Abdullah, please stand up. You tell him. Hazrat Abdullah said, you're right. My father had half a shirt. I had half a shirt. I give my half to my father. Otherwise, Hazrat Umar could have said, who are you to question me? I've been appointed. You just sit down. Rasulullah wanted the Khalifa to be accountable to the people, and they were. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, when he became a Khalifa, if I do wrong, advise me, correct me, and if I tell you right, obey me. Number three, if people have appointed him as a successor, you have chosen him, because you've chosen him, now you'll willingly obey him. So, but Rasulullah had dealt with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, not clearly saying he should be Khalifa, but dealt with him in a way that everybody knew after Rasulullah who should be Khalifa. Islam is based on how many pillars? How many? First one is Iman. Where is Iman? What's the place of Iman? In your heart. Can anybody see what's in your heart? So Iman is personal. Second is Salah. Third is you can consider fasting. When a person is fasting, can you be 100% sure he's fasting? He might have got up to have sari with the family, but just probably wanted early breakfast. Or he might not have been fasting, ended up in the masjid as well, just wants a nice dinner on iftari time. Pakoda, samosas, milkshakes, whatever. Is he really fasting? Who knows but Allah and you? And zakat, a person can also give secretly if he wants. But there are two pillars, two things which are done in public. They are salat and hajj. Where is hajj done? Makkah. Local level or global level? Global level. When Rasulullah himself, before the year of Hajjatul Wida, could not come for hajj. People wanted to go. Rasulullah didn't go. He sent the people in hajj. Under whose leadership? There were people, they were going to come from all over Arabia. Rasulullah knew, when they come, I am not there. If Rasulullah wanted to introduce his successor, wasn't that a good opportunity? That there will be people from all over Arabia. They can see when Rasulullah is not there, who is to be our leader? Who? Abu Bakr. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not lead people in salah, everybody's waiting. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an opportunity to let the people know, when he himself cannot lead them, then who leads them on his behalf? Hazrat Ali was asked, how come you allowed Abu Bakr to be the leader? Hazrat Ali said, simple. Rasulullah made him imam of our deen. We were happy to make him imam of our dunya. He said, I was there. I wasn't absent. I was well. I wasn't ill. Rasulullah didn't tell me. He told Abu Bakr. Hazrat Ali's grandson, Hassan bin Ali. Hazrat Ali had a son by the name of Hassan. Hazrat Hassan had a son by the name of Hassan as well. He was asked, did Rasulullah ever appoint your grandfather as a successor? Hazrat Hassan bin Ali said, if Rasulullah had even hinted at Ali being Khalifa, Ali wouldn't have let Abu Bakr set a foot on the Musalla. 2-3 weeks to go, Muharram will start. Many of you have probably heard the Karbala tragedy. Have you heard? Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu was martyred in Karbala. Mullah Bakir Majlisi in here says, on the 10th of Muharram, the year is 61 after Hijri. Hazrat Hussain was 57 years old. How old? 57. Is that young or old man? By normal standards, old man. He's been traveling from Makkah, hundreds of kilometers. When he reached Karbala, he was hungry, thirsty, tired. 57 years old. Mullah Bakir Majlisi says, in spite of having traveled for weeks, hungry, thirsty for days, at the age of 57, Hazrat Hussain fought like a lion and killed 2,000 people. How many? When the day Rasulullah passed away, you know how old Hazrat Ali was? 33. When Allah blessed Rasulullah with Nubuwwat, he was 10. So after 23 years, he was... Was Hazrat Ali a weakling or a brave man? Brave man. Strong man. He had already proven his credentials many times. Everybody. His title is the Lion of Allah. Hazrat Hussain had been traveling many weeks. Hazrat Ali is at home, fresh, no tiredness, no hunger, no thirst. He only needs to kill 3 old men. Hazrat Hussain killed 2,000 at the age of 57. Hazrat Ali is 33. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was 61 years old. When Rasulullah passed away, he was 63. When Hazrat Abu Bakr passed away, 63. When Hazrat Umar passed away, 63. When Hazrat Ali passed away, 63. Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmahullah passed away, 63. Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah passed away, 63. Allah blesses people. So Hazrat Abu Bakr was 2 years younger than Rasulullah. So when Rasulullah passed away at the age of 63, Abu Bakr was how old? 61. Hazrat Umar passed away 13 years after Rasulullah. So he was how old? Around 50. Hazrat Usman was also around 55. So one man is 61 years old, one man is 50 years old, another man is 55 years old. Hazrat Ali is only 33 years old. He's fought many, killed many. He only needs to kill 3 old men. Does he do that? So what does it prove? Khilafat wasn't his right. Somebody said, who is strongest? We say Hazrat Ali is strongest. Strong and a brave man is not someone who can just beat people up. Someone goes around beating people up is a bully. Truly strong man is someone who can be honest and truthful and accept his right and the rights of others and give him a bit of respect as well. Hazrat Ali, if Khilafat was his right, he would have taken it. But he knew it's the right of Abu Bakr, so he accepted it. So we say Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, honest, truthful, brave, fearless, he accepted the truth. But the Shia say he was a coward and a weakling. Why? He's 31-year-old lion of Allah, but a 61-year-old man comes and takes what belongs to him and he can't have it back. Is that being strong or weak? If something belongs to you, you young and strong, and an old man comes and takes it, and you want it so badly. And according to Shia, Hazrat Ali wanted it badly. They say Abu Bakr and Umar were fighting over Khilafat. Rasulullah has passed away. One of the things they say is, when Rasulullah has passed away, they haven't even prayed his janazah yet. And they're fighting over Khilafat. Well, if they were fighting over Khilafat, doesn't it prove that the Prophet of Allah had not appointed a Khalifa? If Rasulullah had appointed a Khalifa, would they be fighting over a Khilafat? If Rasulullah had appointed Hazrat Ali, then the day Rasulullah left this world, whose responsibility was it? When everybody is crying, weeping, sorrow, saddened, overwhelmed with sorrow, whose responsibility was it to stand and rise to the challenge and comfort everybody? Did he take up the responsibility? He didn't. And the one whose responsibility it was, even though he wasn't told, knew it's his right. Nobody said anything. When they were gathered at Sa'd ibn Saqifah, Hazrat Abu Bakr just finishes khutbah. Somebody said, the Ansar are gathered in Sa'd ibn Saqifah to decide the Khilafat. Who should be leader? Hazrat Abu Bakr took Hazrat Umar and Abu Ubaidah with him. They are Muhajireen. In Medina there were two main groups, Muhajireen and Ansar. Allah has mentioned them in the Quran. Hazrat Abu Bakr Muhajir, Hazrat Umar Muhajir, they went over. What's the problem? We're deciding a ruler. You are Ansar. Our town. Rasulullah was a Muhajir. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, his Khalifa will be Muhajir. Are you? You all know, Hazrat Abu Bakr said to them. Didn't Rasulullah say, Ala immatu min al Quraysh? That the rulers will be from Quraysh? Yes, indeed. Well, that's it then. Well, then who? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, rival group. They want to be Khalifa. They want to choose. Hazrat Abu Bakr is there. He just tells them. He doesn't say, I deserve to be Khalifa. Make me Khalifa. Rasulullah made me Imam. When they said, yes, okay. Rasulullah said, leaders will be from Quraysh. So who? Hazrat Abu Bakr said, I've heard Rasulullah saying, sun hasn't risen on a better man than Umar. So Umar is there. And if you would agree, I'm willing to give my hand in Umar's hand. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu proposed, Hazrat Umar didn't say me, Umar. Hazrat Umar said, if he had wanted it, would he not have accepted it? Hazrat Umar said, are you Sani Yasnan or am I Sani Yasnan? Sani Yasnan means second of the two, revealed in honor of who? Abu Bakr. So Hazrat Umar said, threw the ball back in his court. Who is Sani Yasnan, you or me? Hazrat Abu Bakr knew it's him. So another Sahabi stepped forward, knew things are now concluding. He wanted to be the first. He stepped forward and gave his hand in the hands of Abu Bakr. And everybody agreed. Abu Bakr didn't want it. Gave it to Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar gave it back to Abu Bakr. Everybody accepted. If Rasulullah had ever appointed Hazrat Ali, would this incident have occurred? So many hours have already passed. They say, well, Hazrat Ali was busy in the washing, coffining and burial managements and so on. And Rasulullah has not even been buried and they are fighting over Khilafat. Rasulullah wasn't buried till Wednesday night. Rasulullah passed away Monday morning but wasn't buried till Wednesday evening. It didn't take 2 days fighting to solve Khilafat. Khilafat was solved within 1 or 2 hours. If Hazrat Ali had ever been appointed, then whose right was it then to rise to the challenge and comfort the people? When Hazrat Ali didn't, then it shows it wasn't his responsibility. So no problem, issue done. If Khilafat was the haqq of Hazrat Ali, the main job of any ruler, Allah says in the Quran, Ya Dawood, Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum bayna nasi bil haqq. Dawood, I've made you khalifa in the earth. So judge and rule over people with justice and haqq. The responsibility of a khalifa is to make sure everybody gets their right. But if Hazrat Khilafat was the haqq of Hazrat Ali, he can't even get his own haqq, let alone get the haqq of others. Bhi jo apna haqq nahi le sakta, wo dusron ka haqq kya dilayega? So what does it prove? Khilafat was never a promise to Hazrat Ali. And to the person for whom it was meant to be, it was promised to them. And if Hazrat Abu Bakr and then Umar, then Hazrat Usman. When Muharram comes, mashallah, people will tell the tale, make people cry. And then the Shias, they rinse Muharram. And ordinary Sunnis, out of ignorance, lack of knowledge and understanding, fall for this. They lay the bait. Oh, look how the grandson of Rasulullah was murdered and martyred. And people didn't give a care. Didn't give a damn. And they let the grandson of Rasulullah die in that state. That's another issue. We discussed it previously, and it's on the website. You can download the tragedy of Karbala. But Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, 10th of Muharram in Karbala, refused to give his hand in the hand of Yazid. Gave his head, but not his hand. So what does that tell you? I don't know what it tells you, but it tells me. If Hazrat Hussain was on Haqq, which he was, does anybody say Hazrat Hussain wasn't on Haqq? Hazrat Hussain, grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he is on Haqq, he refused to give his hand in the hand of Yazid. He gave his head, but his father, the Lion of Allah, first gave his hand in the hand of Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Usman. So it tells me, if Hazrat Hussain is on Haqq, then Abu Bakr is on Haqq, Umar is on Haqq, Usman is on Haqq. When he came to Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Ali didn't just give his own hand in his hand, he gave the hand of his daughter in his hand as well. And then if someone oppresses you, someone takes you right away, you like them or you hate them. And if you hate someone, then in English they say simply, get out of my sight, I don't want to see you again. And then you don't name your children after them. You name your children after your big Hazrat Sahab. MashaAllah, your Buzurg, your Ustad, your Peer, your Sheikh, MashaAllah. Because you love them. One of our elders of Tabligh, his name was Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahab. Many of you probably heard his name. Rahmatullah Alayhi. And Allah blessed him. He spent a lot of his life with Maulana Yusuf Sahab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, son of Maulana Ilyas, Rahmahullah. Allah gave him sons. Number of sons. He named them all Yusuf. First Yusuf, second Yusuf, third Yusuf, fourth Yusuf, fifth Yusuf. And I think there was a sixth Yusuf as well. All after Yusuf, Rahimah, Mawlana Yusuf, Rahimahullah. Allah gave Hazrat Ali 14 sons. There was no child benefit. Well, there was a bit of child benefit. Hazrat Umar already introduced it. But there was, like many people are too afraid, one boy, one girl is enough. Hazrat Ali had almost 30 children. 14 sons and 15, 16 daughters. Many wives as well, mashallah. When Rasulullah married Hazrat Fatima to Hazrat Ali, sometime later Allah blessed them with a son. When he was born, Rasulullah came by. Ali Mubarak, mashallah, what do you want to name him? Harb, ya Rasulullah. Harb means war, warrior. Yeah. Rasulullah said, Hassan. Whatever you say, ya Rasulullah. Sometimes later Allah gave him another son. As Rasulullah came by again, Ali Mubarak, what do you want to name this one? Harb, ya Rasulullah. Before I wanted, but you overruled me, ya Rasulullah. He didn't quite say that, but Harb, ya Rasulullah. Hussein. Then Allah blessed Hazrat Fatima and Hazrat Ali with two daughters, Umm Kulthum, Hazrat Zainab. Then Rasulullah passed away, Hazrat Fatima passed away. Hazrat Ali was a young man longing for a wife. Hazrat Abu Bakr had sent Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid to deal with Musaylimah Kadhab. He dealt with him, and many people were brought as captives, men, women. Hazrat Abu Bakr looked at the women. There was one woman who caught his eye, not for himself. He said, Ali, take her to be your wife. Abu Bakr took care of Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali appreciated them. And Allah blessed Hazrat Ali with son through her. And after Hassan and Hussein, he was Hazrat Ali's favorite son. He named him Muhammad, the big Muhammad. Then Allah gave him another son, another Muhammad, another son, another Muhammad. The big Muhammad, middle Muhammad, small Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Askar. Then one Abdullah, one Ubaidullah. That how many is that? 3 to 5 and 2 is? Then 4 he named after his family members. Jafar, Yahya, Aun and Abbas. How many does that make? 14 minus 11 is? 1 he named Abu Bakr, 1 Umar, 1 Uthman. Later Allah gave us Hassan sons. He named many. And Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Mullah Bakir Majlisi has written on the 10th of Muharram in Karbala, when Hazrat Hussein's, he was under siege by Ubaidullah bin Ziyad's army. The army which killed Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu did not come from Damascus, they came from Kufa. The very people who had invited Hazrat Hussein over sent 12,000 letters.
Hazrat Hussain had spent 5 years in Kufa in the time of Hazrat Ali. Knew all the people. And he knew them. And when he looked at them and he said, well, you are the ones who called me. You said, come over. Now I've come over at your request. And now you betrayed me. You turned against me. And you want to kill me. Hazrat Mullah Bakir Majlisi has written in here. Hazrat Hussain said, he didn't point the finger at Yazid. I'm not relieving Yazid of the burden. I believe ultimately responsibility of all the matters belongs to Yazid. He should have taken more care of Hazrat Hussain. He should have known better. Hazrat Hussain is the grandson of Rasulullah. As Hazrat Amir Muawiyah had said, whatever Hussain says, listen to him. He's grandson of Rasulullah. And he didn't give Hazrat Hussain enough respect. But the army which killed Hazrat Hussain did not come from Damascus. Hazrat Hussain says it came from Kufa, the very Shias who invited him and then betrayed him and then joined in the army to kill him. Hazrat Hussain said, you've invited, I know you, here's the letters you sent. Then Hazrat Hussain's only surviving son, Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah, when he went to Kufa, he heard the women and the men crying. He said, why are you crying foolishly? Your men folk betrayed my father and then killed him. Hazrat Hussain's sister Zainab said the same. His daughter said the same. When Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah was taken to the court of Yazid, stayed with him 15 days. I ask you, Allah forbid, if anyone kills your father, your brothers, your nephews, every member of your family, and then will you go and stay in his house? Eat on the same table as him? Drink with him? Sleep with him? Accept his hospitality? Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah stayed with Yazid 15 days. Why? If he knew Yazid is the killer of my father, why did it? How could he stay in his house? Hazrat Hussain says, the Shias killed me. Zainul Abidin Hazrat Hussain's son says, Shias killed my father. Hazrat Hussain's sister says, Shias killed my brother. Hazrat Hussain's daughters, they say, Mullah Bakir Majlisi says, they all say the Shias of Kufa killed my father. Mullah Bakir Majlisi also says, volume 2, page 244, when the army of Ubaidullah, whom the Kufans had joined in the killing of Hazrat Hussain, when they laid a siege, wanted to kill him, the first man to step forward in defense of Hazrat Hussain was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr bin Ali. When he was martyred, then Mullah Bakir Majlisi says, page 244, the second man to give his life in honor of Hazrat Hussain was Umar bin Ali. Abu Bakr and Umar are such special names. Wherever they go, they are loyal. People say loyalty. Loyalty prides itself in Abu Bakr. Justice prides itself in Umar. Modesty, generosity, haya prides itself in Usman. Bravery prides itself in Ali radiyallahu anhu majma'in. Mullah Bakir Majlisi says the second man to give his life in honor of Hazrat Hussain was Umar bin Ali. And when he was martyred, the third man to give his life in honor of Hazrat Hussain was Usman bin Ali. When Allah gave Hazrat Hassan young sons, he named many different names. He made sure he named one Abu Bakr, one Umar. When Allah gave Hazrat Hussain sons, he also made sure he gave one Umar, one Abu Bakr, one Umar. Hazrat Hussain's son, Zainul Abidin Rahimahullah, Allah gave him many sons. He named one Umar, one Usman. So if Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman had oppressed them, would they name their sons after them? Naming your children, mashallah, is a sign, proof that you envy, hold such people in high esteem. And another sign of the fact that you hold people close and dear to your heart in our culture. I don't know how things work here now. Now times have changed. People have become modern, mashallah. People make their own choices nowadays. But in our culture, back in the days where most of your ancestors came from, India, and back in the days, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, mashallah, many a times, if somebody had a son, another had a daughter, they would agree their marriages when they were young. And then when somebody
Allah blesses anyone with son or daughter, mashallah. They look for what sort of people. In South Africa, if your daughter grows up, and you just go into the street and mashallah, look for the first man, come man, I've got a daughter, mashallah, come and marry her. Is that how you do things here? You look for the best man. Abu Bakr, I call it the circle of love. Abu Bakr gave his daughter Aisha to Rasulullah. Umar radiallahu anhu gave his daughter to Rasulullah as well, Hafsa. Hazrat Umar gave his daughter to Rasulullah. Rasulullah gave his daughter to Hazrat Ali, Fatima. Hazrat Ali gave his daughter back to Hazrat Umar. Circle of love. Hazrat Abu Bakr gave his daughter Aisha to Rasulullah. Abu Bakr's descendants carried on giving daughters to the descendants of Rasulullah. Most of us sitting here are probably Hanafis. Some are Shafis, Malikis. Our fiqh is named after Imam Abu Hanifa. Fiqh Shafi is named after Imam Shafi rahimahullah. The fiqh of Shias is known as fiqh Jafariya. After Imam Jafar Sadiq, he's their central Imam. Imam Jafar, they say, his mother's name was Umme Farwa, the wife of Baqir, Muhammad bin Ali. He was one of the mashayikh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah as well. And Jafar Sadiq's mother Umme Farwa, she is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr from two sides. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had three sons, Abdul Rahman, Abdullah and Muhammad. Abdul Rahman, he had a son, he had a daughter, her name was Asma. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, other's younger son was Muhammad. He had a son, his name was Qasim. So Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abi Bakr was married to Asma bint Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr. Allah gave them a daughter. She was known as Umme Farwa. Umme Farwa is the mother of Imam Jafar Sadiq, the wife of Imam Baqir. Descendants of Abu Bakr gave their daughters to descendants of Hazrat Ali and they accepted them. So just as Imam Jafar Sadiq, Musa Kazim, Ali Raza, Muhammad Taqi, Ali Naqi, Hassan Askari, and they said there was a seventh, his name was Muhammad, 5-year-old, vanished into the cave, still hiding in the cave. Been 1200 years, he's too scared to come out. We filed in a report to the police station, if he's found, please let us know, we've been waiting. He didn't really exist. Imaginary figure, that's why they had to send him in hiding, because had he been a real figure, he would have been in the public domain, but he wasn't, so they had to send him in the hiding. Six imams afterwards, just as they have the blood and genes of Rasulullah in their veins, so they have the blood and genes of Abu Bakr in their veins. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Rasulullah gave two daughters to who? Hazrat Usman. Rasulullah gave two daughters to who? Hazrat Usman. Hazrat Ali's two granddaughters were married to two grandsons of Hazrat Usman. Hazrat Hussein's two daughters, Sakina and Fatima. Fatima was married to Abdullah bin Amr bin Usman. Sakina was married to Zaid bin Amr bin Usman. Two granddaughters of Hazrat Ali married to two grandsons of Hazrat Usman. If they hated Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, would they have given him their daughters? People say, Amir Muawiyah wronged Hazrat Ali as well, fought him. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, just as his brother-in-law of Rasulullah, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah's sister, Umm Habiba, is one of the wives of Rasulullah. One of the Prophet's other wives, Umm Salma, Umm Salma's sister, Qariba, she is one of the wives of Amir Muawiyah. So Amir Muawiyah and Rasulullah, brother-in-laws, two ways. And Amir Muawiyah's niece, Layla bint Murrah, granddaughter of Abu Sufyan, is one of the wives of Hazrat Hussein, mother of Ali Akbar, cousin of Yazid. History, facts tell you they were brothers, loved each other. Shia says they hated each other. Finally, somebody said, why we love Hazrat Ali? They say, we love Hazrat Ali so much that Hazrat Ali throughout his life never turned his back to Rasulullah. He was always with Rasulullah throughout his life. Never abandoned him. Had he ever abandoned him, Hazrat Ali, had he ever abandoned Rasulullah, we would have also abandoned him. I said, we accept that. We respect that. Hazrat Ali never ever turned his back to Rasulullah. We salute him with both hands. That Hazrat Ali was always by the side of Rasulullah throughout his life. But what can we do? Abu Bakr and Umar didn't abandon Rasulullah even after their death. They are with Rasulullah even now. 1400 years have passed. They haven't turned away from Rasulullah. They are with him. They will remain with him till Qiyamah. Rise with him on the pond and then be with him beyond for eternity. May Allah grant us their love. May Allah grant us the love for everybody. That's why he said, our hearts of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah are open. We want to accept everybody. Somebody only wants to accept Bukhari and that's it. Somebody other wants to accept only Hazrat Ali. We accept everybody. We accept Rasulullah. We accept Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, Hazrat Hassan, Amir Muawiyah as well. We accept everybody down the line. And then we accept Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Bukhari, all the others, all the way. We are 1400 years down the line. Let's behave like we are 1400 years down the line, not jump to the front. Just as if you go to pick and pay, you want to jump to the front, they'll say, get to the back. So just get to the back first. May Allah save us all. May Allah keep us on the right path. Jazakumullah khair. Jazakumullah for giving us the opportunity to share our thoughts with you. May Allah keep us on the right path. Our brothers, these are not just emotional issues. Many of our youth are losing their iman. They are turning their backs to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sahaba, they weren't just friends of Allah. They were beloveds of Allah. There are two people Allah has declared war with. One is in the Quran, one is in Bukhari. The one in the Quran who takes interest. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa dharu ma baqiya minar riba in kuntum mu'minin fa illam taf'alu fa'dhanu biharbin min Allahi wa rasuli. This is nonsense. Stop it. Otherwise you're at war with Allah, taking interest. The other is man ada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb. Anyone who has any hatred in their heart for the friends of Allah, Allah has declared war with him. Sahaba were not just friends of Allah, they were beloveds of Allah. They say friend of a friend is also an enemy of your friend is also your enemy. The one who hates Sahaba is the enemy of Allah. So we need to save our youth. We need to save our brothers from becoming enemies and at war with Allah. And there is no salvation down that line. That path only leads to ruin, to destruction, to humility, to shame. The path is the moderate path. Love of Hazrat Ali, love of Khulafa, love of Hazrat Ali doesn't mean hatred for Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman or Aisha or Amir Muawiyah. Love for Hazrat Ali means love for everybody. May Allah grant us all their love and keep us on the right path. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiu al-alim wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha wa ajirna min khizy ad-dunya wa adhab al-akhirah. Ya Allah, we seek your mercy, forgiveness and blessings. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. Allahumma inna nadu'afa faqawwi fi ridaka du'afana. Allahumma hdina fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt wa tawallana fi man tawallayt wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt wa qina wasrif 'anna ya rabbana sharra ma qadayt fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda 'alayk innahu la yadhillu man walayt wa la ya'izzu man 'adayt. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Ya Allah, we seek your mercy, forgiveness and blessings. Forgive us all and guide us all to the right path. Ya Allah, guide us and protect us and protect and guide our sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, our public and our rulers. Have a mercy upon the entire and whole ummah of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, in these difficult times of fitna and fasad, we seek your refuge and guidance and protection. Ya Allah, those who are going through difficulties and hardships, have mercy upon them and grant them ease and comfort of this world and the life hereafter. Those who are ill, grant them all health and strength and shifa. Ya Allah, we ask you to elevate our kabirin, our mashayikh, Ya Allah, to a lofty status which they deserve, Ya Allah, according to your mercy and infinite blessings and mercy, Ya Allah. Those amongst our akabirin, our ulama, our asatiza who are alive, Ya Allah, we ask you to prolong their shadow over us, Ya Allah, and to bless all aspects of their lives. And we ask you to unite our hearts, Ya Allah, on haqq, and to keep us all on the right path, Ya Allah. And as long as we remain alive, keep us on Islam. When our time comes to leave this world, Ya Allah, take us away on Iman. Those who hold good wishes in their hearts, Ya Allah, you are aware of their intentions. Bless them all, Ya Allah, and grant them and grant us all goodness of this world and the life hereafter. Rabbana, taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antat tawwabur rahim, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi.